opens up again.
I think so. All right, we're on, 4:30.
Okay. I'd call our meeting to order and acknowledge that the press and public are duly notified in accordance with state law. I'd like to open up our meeting by asking if there are any public comments.
Nope.
No public comments. Okay. I'd like to make a motion that the minutes be approved. All in favor?
Aye.
Done.
Okay, you did the second.
Lewis.
Lewis.
Old business rec, consider recommendations for short-term rentals.
Okay, so we didn't have a lot of changes from the last time you all met.
Mm-hmm.
The changes that you did get are in blue on the red line, and they are, we took out the, we had in their documentation for a successful self-inspection, we took that out, and then we changed 30 minutes to 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it, but also in the packet is the actual, and it would be, because it crosses two different articles in the code, it would be two different ordinances,
mm-hmm.
One for the zoning section, one for the licensing section.
Right.
So you have the drafts of the actual codes that would make those changes happen. So I do know that since this time we received a comment about putting back the transitioning back to 30 minutes over an hour. I didn't hear, Rick had the idea of asking the police chief. I've been unable to contact him though to get his idea of whether or not one was advantageous over the other.
When it was petitioned to me about 30 minutes, it was because they thought having an officer there for an hour waiting for somebody would be too long. Not being able to do anything would have got there. They thought it would be better for the police if it was 30 minutes rather than 60.
I think the presumption, though, is that these occurrences would occur in the middle of the night. The policemen are up working. The real estate agent would not be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's at an imposition to wake up, get dressed, get over here, wherever he might live.
Well, I think also what I heard from the managers is that, you know, I'm in West Ashley. I'm now over 50-minute drive. So the geography of being within 30 minutes, especially in the summer, I mean, you almost have to be, unless it's in the middle of the night and there's no traffic. I mean, if it's any traffic, you'd have to almost be
local, get up
on the island,
and wake up if it's at 2 o'clock
get
in the morning, you know, which most of the complaints are going to be in the evening, I would guess.
Yeah, most of the staff live off island, right? So it's going to take them that long. So.
Yeah, that's.
If they lived on that, that's maybe reasonable, right?
Yeah.
Right. I'm still a little bit confused that when we're changing to calling a property manager or owner, are they called? They're still calling the police department, and the police mm-hmm. are still doing the. Somebody made some comments about that. I don't think they understand that they're still supposed to call the police department.
Yes. So
or the livability court.
Yeah, just for clarification, the issue that came up was, and it was kind of a one-time event from what I understand from talking with the police, but when it comes time for them to actually clear a house, a party's going on and they need to clear the house, they need an owner's representative
right.
physically there to do that. Any, you know, ticketing or asking them to go, you know, giving them a noise ticket or really any ticketing can happen, but the thing that can't happen is for them to order them to vacate the home.
So the only time that they're going to get called, the owners or the property managers, or if that even occurs?
Last resort, right? The police can't resolve it.
Yeah, it's kind of a last resort. It has to be a major issue, kind of a last resort. I think smaller things can be dealt with. It's two or three people on a porch, you know, they'll tell them to go in.
Right.
But if it's a massive party, they need the house cleared and they need that is when the owners.
So there shouldn't be that many instances, is what I'm trying to get back to.
No, right. Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
If they're so belligerent that I'm responding to the police,
right.
The police can't arrest them, right? They can't get them for what they don't have.
They can write them a ticket, but they can't take them to jail unless they do something.
But they can't get them for what, not drunk and disorderly, but what was the other one? He said, no, that doesn't exist. You can't arrest them for
disturbing
the peace, right?
That was it.
Yeah.
Then that would be the last resort. They'd have to get the property manager or whoever on site, the victim. Which I think is rare. Has that happened?
That they've arrested people?
Well, no. That they've actually had to evict groups from the house.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I think from what I understand is it, you know, it happens a couple of times a summer.
The property manager indicated that it had happened.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's not very often. But.
Yeah, I don't think it's a weekly or daily occurrence, but I think, you know, a couple of times a summer, the managers will come and kick them out.
Yeah.
Because, Doug, it's the way it's written right now, and I remember this whole conversation, it's talking about you have to contact a licensee or, if applicable, the licensee's property manager. Then we say the point of contact, so on. But there's some conversation about, because if you don't have a property manager, right?
Right.
I thought we took it even broader to say
the owner's
licensee's
owner's agent.
Something like that.
Representative.
Kind of cover,
right. Yeah.
Everything.
That's a good point, because it could be a.
I'm making it up.
No, we did have that conversation.
Yeah.
So we need to say owner's agent. Isn't that the correct legal term for?
Well, we have may contact a licensee and, if applicable, the licensee's agent.
Well, so the existing code, if you look at the existing code, it is already, and I'm looking at this point of the right.
Okay.
The existing code is not underlined, and it says the licensee shall maintain on file with the business license office the current telephone number, if any, of the residence. And current 24-hour-per-day telephone numbers at which the city may contact the licensee and, if applicable, the licensee's property manager.
Well, who wrote that?
So that's in the code.
That's what's current.
That's already currently in there.
But what I think we're saying is it may not be a professional property manager, but say my parents owned a house out here and they made me their designated agent to handle any affairs because I live out here with their house, then this doesn't really give me
the you're
authority
saying you're
to
not
do that.
Well, and then it says the point of then what we added, the point of contact provided must be able to be physically on site within 1 hour. So you're wanting that wordage, that wording to say.
Well, read on.
Yeah.
Receive it. Physically on site within 1 hour of receiving a phone call and must have authority over the property to be able to remove tenants and address unlawful activity.
All we're simply saying is that
instead of the term licensee and if applicable, so it shouldn't technically need to be the licensee.
We want to say licensee's agent and or licensee's property manager.
And I think you can cross out the first.
You don't even need to say that. Just someone that has authority over the property.
Mm-hmm.
The if any is talking about the phone number inside the house.
Right.
I mean,
of the residence. So that's talking about the.
Yeah, but
the
owner's not going to be there. They're renting the house out.
Well, so that would be to call inside.
Call
if it's the problems at 2400 Palm, that you can call the number inside 2400 Palm. But I think this was written 10 years ago when landlines were more.
Now landlines anymore, but you know.
Before cell phones.
Yeah.
Needs to be reworded, but in any event, they should contact the licensee, and I agree, and or the licensee property manager, right?
Licensee's agent is the term we want.
And or licensee's property manager. The only reason I'm saying that is to me, property manager is a distinction and a contractual obligation. It implies at least a contractual obligation with, you know, one of the local property managers.
Yeah, but
I can still be a property manager, licensed or unlicensed, by somebody giving me that authority.
Right.
So if it's through Airbnb or VRBO, it would be your agent, right?
Right. They might very well have somebody that handles that. Or like I said, it could be their relative.
If you go with what's already written, you just say the agent that has authority over property. That's what's here.
Yeah. The point of contact must have authority over the property.
Right.
And that's in what we've
that's
added.
That's defining the person.
Right.
Maybe
I think they're saying so,
in
right.
to be consistent, the sentence ahead of that specifies licensee or a property manager, mm-hmm. and I guess that sentence is more restrictive than the second sentence. So
right.
I think I can see aligning those two
right.
by just adding licensee's agent.
City mm-hmm. attorney to reword this so it makes more sense because they should be in sync, right?
Absolutely.
I have a question about the last sentence. So
same section.
Yeah, same section.
It
the last sentence
violation?
In red. Yeah, it should be a violation of the chapter to advertise a short-term rental without displaying the business license number. I thought we decided not to enforce that because of all the problems on like Airbnb and VRBO with them blocking numbers
so
and all that.
This is out of the city's, the city of Charleston's code.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to their code people. They say that they're unaware of that ever causing them any issues.
Hmm.
They weren't. The issue that we heard from the property managers is if you try to advertise your business, it sends the traffic directly to you, so Airbnb deletes those photos or that information, but the city of Charleston says they don't have that problem.
Yeah, I think the guys were having trouble with putting telephone numbers in there, and yes, I would bet Airbnb would delete that.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
again,
did.
It's
they,
going
they,
around
they
their
those out.
Collection of their
right.
whole business there. But I think this number I've seen it advertised before. I mean, I've rented
Me
it lots of other places,
yep.
and I can tell you I've seen it
yeah.
on the bottom of
yep.
of Airbnb advertising. So it's happened. I don't know.
I've never, and this was one of Bill's, Bill Mills really liked this provision. I've never fully
I don't
understood the benefit of it, because if you're illegally posting and then you don't have the license number on there, you're no better off because they're still illegal. They still don't.
If you're illegally posting, you don't want to put the license up.
Right.
So it should zero in who's doing it illegally, but it doesn't actually.
Except for the city, I mean.
Fake one. Who would know?
But the city has it in there. They, you know, it didn't sound like it did them any great benefit, but
it's good.
I think we all kind of agreed that it doesn't
mm-hmm.
hurt to have it in there. So
no.
Let it go.
Can you tell me real quick, this is under 5-4-204, maximum number of vehicles. There's not a change to the current
yes.
language, but
right.
I thought we talked about something. I thought the 11 p.m. to 9 a.m. didn't.
So we talked about that.
Yeah.
We decided to, because the Public Safety Committee has been the one dealing with all of the parking
yeah.
issues, the residential parking zones, the parking, do they do it year-round, do they? And we didn't want to make a change here that was at odds with something they're doing over
yeah.
there. So the recommendation was to have them study this section
yeah. okay.
to be sure that what they're doing aligns with what's happening.
So we're just going to leave that up to them.
So we're leaving that up to them.
And then in light of the Kiowa thing that just came out, do we need some language about renting in its entirety, like they had written, so you're not allowing a bedroom here or a bedroom there if we want to do that? Because we don't have that kind of language in the internet right now.
I thought we did.
Well, it is not. We interpret our existing code to stipulate that.
To say that.
But
gotcha.
That's a good point.
Well,
yeah,
it just
that.
Struck me when I read Kiowa's.
Yeah, and we have had, it's been, our existing code has been appealed. The case has been made that our code doesn't specifically prohibit it. Board of Zoning Appeals sided on the side that it did specifically prohibit it.
So just because the preamble just says short-term rental means the use of any dwelling. Is that what they were hanging their hat on, do you think? Or? Because
yes.
There really isn't any specific language around the whole property.
Or in other cities, though.
A couple of people reach out to say they would like to have that, you know, to let retirees supplement their income, but I'm not sure that's the path we want to.
Well, so what we've hung our hat on is the zoning districts are single-family residential zoning districts,
right.
And when you get into what's allowed in a single-family house, it's a single group.
So somewhere outside.
So it's outside of this, but I do know that, you know, it's been. When somebody asks me where specifically in the code does it say I cannot rent individual rooms, and we had the example of somebody advertising for a roommate, and the example was made that, well, I think this person has a different roommate like every 6 weeks, and is that, are they violating something in doing that? I mean, we haven't kind of gotten to that.
They're renting it for 3 months, whatever,
91 days or
whatever it is. If during the summer, then that would be.
Well, she has an annual lease, and I do think that in this case,
but she's subleasing it to someone else.
She has not been able to keep a roommate for whatever reason. And it's getting.
That may not be a short-term rental issue.
Yeah. In that case, the intent is.
It's a whole nother issue.
That might be another issue.
Beyond our scope. Some other statute has violated. Not like assumingly she's doing a revolving door every couple of days.
Man.
No,
yeah,
she's, you know, it's kind of like a month.
Is,
And I think that it's, I guess people are questioning her intent.
Yeah.
Is she really trying to, but, you know, I don't know that needs to elevate itself to getting the full attention of Planning Commission to City Council, but I do know that that kind of stuff happens, where the questions come in, well, is our code detailed enough to say you can't do that, and it's just not.
Well, you can have a roommate for a long-term, I mean, you know, if you want to have a roommate in your house.
Yep.
Well, to take it to the ridiculous you know, I want a roommate for 4 days, and I'm going to advertise it. I have a year lease, but I'm going to advertise it for, you're going to be my roommate for 4 days, and then they go into.
That's just
our code does not. Yeah, our code doesn't get to that level of detail. I mean, I guess if we
may it someday.
Yeah, if we saw the need to get into it.
Yeah.
But what's your response when somebody asks you? Point me to the spot in the code that says it's.
It's outside.
It's a zoning.
Yeah, it is the definition of a single family.
Gotcha.
And it does.
It talks about roommates, though.
It talks about
how that can be.
And this section of the code is at odds with it, because it says unrelated. You know, it says anybody in your family, or any group of unrelated people, and there's a cap. I want to say it. I think it's six.
Mm-hmm.
Six unrelated people.
Gotcha.
And, you know, then you look at this section, it says you can have 22 people.
Yeah.
So they are, it is not a perfectly clean.
So do we need to get it that way? Or not necessarily? Or is that beyond the scope right now?
It is a murky.
Yeah.
It's a murky process. We wouldn't get it there. We wouldn't get it there. You know, sitting here tonight.
Yeah.
But we could. I mean, if you all wanted to kind of hold off.
Just
and
a question.
Yeah.
Well, has it been
it?
A problem?
Right.
Yeah,
that's
before
what I mean.
We go and realign the code,
if it's not a problem,
I think we got to determine whether it's been an issue or not.
Really, I mean,
we had
one person. We have these. That actually appealed it to the Board of Zoning Appeals. That's happened once.
I would say it's not a big issue. It's happening and we don't know about it or whatever.
I don't perceive
it. Special business.
Hey, I don't want to get into all the special businesses that could be happening with somebody.
I'm trying to figure out a way that I can kind of reject my brother-in-law.
Yeah, and I guess in that one case, in that one case, it got.
Charge him rent, but it's for.
So you want us to do it?
Pull out code, right?
Sorry, you can't do it. But he's related, so that doesn't work.
In that one case, it got appealed.
But he's not related to me.
And the Board of Zoning.
It's my wife's brother, not mine.
Well, that's true.
Ruled it as a dwelling, and you can't do it. Can't just rent out.
Yeah, there is some, I mean, there is, the Board of Zoning Appeals, their decisions do create, you know, a precedent and a basis for, kind of like when the Supreme Court rules on something, that then becomes kind of the basis of.
Gotcha.
Of zoning interpretations, and we refer to it. So, well, here's, if somebody brings it up, I can say, well, this exact issue has been appealed. Here's the.
It's kind of like that airstream down at the bridge inlet we got tied up.
Right, right.
Okay.
All right.
So I think what I'm hearing is add on the section that talked about the owner's representative, we're going to add licensee's agent. So it's going to say at which the city may contact the licensee, comma, licensee's agent, and if applicable, the licensee's property manager.
Or you could use designated agent would work too. Yes. If licensee and licensee is.
Or you could just say licensee or licensee's agent.
Fill that OCRM application as the agent for the client, the owner. All I had to do was have him sign that I could be his agent.
Exactly.
And it's as simple as that. I mean, I'm not looking for authority to do anything other than build a 12-foot square extension on the boardwalk. But, you know, that same simplicity could be used, you know, and if it is, you know, if one of these rental agencies, companies, happen to have just a rash of bad clients, they might assign somebody, doesn't have to be an employee of theirs, but they might find some sucker here on the Isle of Palms, we'll pay you to be our agent.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to be on call. You might get called at 2 a.m, but you'll be on the spot. Yeah, you'll be on the spot.
I had to file paperwork to establish an escort, and then you have to have a registered agent.
Right.
So that person is.
Yeah, right.
But it doesn't have to be so formal. What I'm trying to say is like
I think they just give us a name and number, and we're going to call.
That's not true. Well,
as long as you're designated, that's right.
But they verbally might designate me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, still, you're going to have that person's phone number on file as the contact.
That's the chief.
That's the key.
Oh, did he say? An hour or a. So that's the only remaining thing is that
the
hour, 30 minutes.
I think an hour is reasonable.
I do too. Yeah, I think 30 minutes maybe.
During the busiest times of the year, we simply do not have an hour that we can dedicate to waiting for somebody to respond. There's a better chance of 30 minutes.
Okay, I'll read this in its entirety. I think the best way for me to answer this would be to address how long an officer would be expected to stay on site awaiting a property owner's representative to arrive. I can say that if the representative had an hour to respond, that we would not. Oh, if the owner's representative had an hour to respond, we would not keep an officer on scene for that wait. The representative would have to notify the police when he or she arrived and would have to wait for an officer to respond to them if they needed assistance from the police.
That's okay, isn't it?
That's reasonable.
So it's kind of like they would go away and we can't be there for an hour. They would leave and then come back.
They don't need to sit there and babysit them.
Yeah.
Of course, they could resolve the issue without any officers being present. But that would be up to them. During the busiest time of year, so yeah, they were saying, call us back if you need us. During the busiest time of year, we simply do not have an hour that we can dedicate to waiting for someone to respond. This is a better chance of 30 minutes. However, even with 30 minutes, the officer would leave if other calls came out that needed a quicker response. In that case, the representative would need to notify the PD when they arrive if they wanted police assistance.
Yep, same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if you set off, you know, be there in 30 minutes,
they're
more than likely, they'll probably be late anyway, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And it could give, you know, the perpetrators a chance to regroup and
maybe clean their act,
start to leave, right?
Which doesn't preclude the
licensee's agent from kicking him out in the morning.
Right.
The next day.
Oh, yeah, I think if.
Tempers may cool off and.
Right, but they still may be excused from the house.
I think an hour makes sense personally.
Yeah.
An hour?
And I wouldn't have expected the police to stick around either.
No.
No.
Yeah, I think from what I understood, the complaint was really the neighbors dealing with having to be, you know, if it's 2 o'clock, to be kind of disturbed between 2 and 3. So that's, to me, that was really the, that was really the consideration is, you know, the managers want an hour, the neighbors want 30 minutes. Just a judgment.
But again, we're talking about a few incidences that cannot be solved by the police going to the door and knocking on the door and clearing that house, or maybe not clearing the house, but giving the perpetrators an opportunity to clean up the ride. And so hopefully that doesn't take an hour. That takes the visit from the door, hey guys, you're being too loud. If you don't pipe down, we're going to write you a ticket. Or maybe they write the ticket, I don't know, depending on what they find when they get there. Mm-hmm. But still, it doesn't mean it won't be resolved within 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just if we have to evict them.
All right. Are we, you guys ready to send this off?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Let's make a motion.
I'll make a motion that we accept the ordinances with the changes that we've discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And.
All in favor? Opposed? None.
All right. Now we get a bunch of updates. So drainage planning. Thomas and Hutton is working pretty quickly now on. So they have two projects they're working on. One is the smaller projects inside the drainage basins. On that project, they are actively surveying. They have their geotechnical experts out kind of getting the base work figured out for their design. So they're charging for, they're basically in design phase stage of that one. They are.
Do you know any in detail you could describe one to us?
Do I know what?
Do you know of one that you could describe to us?
Well, so all of the, so there are five projects.
Mm-hmm.
And I, on these smaller projects, have you all, you've been briefed on kind of how they came to this or not?
Yeah, on how they came to it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they ran their models, their slosh models, through their computers, and their computers show the different size pipes and the different restrictions in all of the systems and all of the basins, well, all of the basins that feed those three outfalls. Though that computer modeling highlighted five different projects that there are significant restrictions. And so those are the projects that are going to get done. Three of them are on 41st. That's actually one of the five, but there's three kind of mini projects on 41st. The others are, they're generally culverts crossing under roads. It's where a major canal goes under a road, and that whole canal has to get down to get out and under that road. So that's kind of in short what each of them are. There's one at Cross Lane, there's three on 41st, there's one on 32nd. They're just kind of sporadically around, but it's basically upgrading the size of pipes in various locations.
Pipes under the road?
Well, one of them is down the road and it's under, it's under the crossing roads. One is between two houses. I think they're primarily going under roads. On the bigger project, so I will tell you, so that's the small project is kind of easier, less complicated, and they're pressing that forward. The bigger outfall project, We have, in the last month, we've met with the Water and Sewer Commission about the conflicts that we're going to have with the water and sewer infrastructure, which don't sound insurmountable, but they're there. They've been great to work with here recently, which has been nice. Very agreeable, easygoing group now. We've also met with the Wild Dunes Golf Course, the Wild Dunes owners and the golf course maintenance people about crossing. There are two of those outfalls that will go across their golf course. Mm-hmm. One specifically, we're going to have to modify significantly an existing fairway. And, you know, not being a golfer and not knowing.
That 29th? Is that the 30th?
Yes. Goes across at 30th, and I think it's the 8th fairway.
Yeah.
It's the 8th fairway, and right now, you know, it was a decent-sized ditch, and it's kind of gotten to be a smaller and smaller.
Yeah, and weeds.
They were also very agreeable. Our ditch is outside of its platted easement there, too, so they're agreeable to, as we kind of work through it, we're going to realign the easement to go along with the ditch where it should be.
Well, they tell them it's an opportunity to improve that hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were.
Sand trap or a water hazard.
Do something else.
We may have in this, well, so the next, and really the big hurdle that we've always known about is OCRM, the critical line, the marsh, mm-hmm. the impact of the marsh and the environmental impact. We have had, we had a meeting with OCRM about where they are going to make judgment that their jurisdiction begins. You know, these things, you have salt water that comes into all these ditches, mm-hmm. and the salt water goes way back into the middle of the island. And the question for them, to kind of boil it down, is, are you going to say that we are impacting just that area where we're adding a big valve, or are you going to say that we are impacting the 650 feet of mm-hmm. canal that now gets salt water in it twice a day? And they haven't told us. There's a big, you know, there's a big delta in what, depending on that judgment that we get back from them, kind of the magnitude, and it really comes down to the mitigation. You know, it
sure,
could be
they
that
don't
we're
consider those jurisdictional wetlands, do
they? They, we don't know. They've kind of made overtures that they do, and that. When we add a valve, that water, that ditch that currently has fiddler mm-hmm. crabs and salt grass mm-hmm. growing up on it, will no longer have that. So we have impacted acres of wetlands.
So they're going to make you mitigate?
They potentially could. So that'll have a big impact on the price.
Much bigger price tag is what that's going to mean.
Yeah.
On, you know, going back to the golf course discussion, we actually talked to them about, hey, if we have to do these mitigation projects, would there be an opportunity to actually expand some of these wetlands that are adjacent to your course now and make what's kind of marginally wet already, make that kind of a true wetland? And they seemed agreeable to it. So
that'd make that hole a lot more challenging if you put a marsh right there.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, we're hopeful that we're hopeful that they will be kind to us, and their line in the sand is in terms of where they claim jurisdiction.
Any idea what I know they marched to their own time frame. Right?
Yeah, so they are supposed to be having kind of a roadside meeting with mm-hmm. Terracon, who is our consultant on that issue, sometime in the next 2 weeks. So that should be fairly quick. So that'll be that's kind of the big lingering question out there in terms of where are they going to pick up jurisdiction. So soon as those judgments are made, they will really get into gear. I think they've really gotten all of the background information that they need to initiate the design process on those projects too. So as soon as they get those questions answered, they will start design on the big project as well. Any questions on drainage?
No, it's detailed design for construction.
What's that?
That would be detailed design for construction.
Yeah. Well, they do what they call, and they have a name for it, but it's basically the initial step is design for permitting. So it's not full bore construction drawings. You know, they do enough to give it to the permitting agencies to get their buy-in on the project, so they haven't.
But they solidified the concept. That's
yes. Right. It's then once the permitting, they see that it's going to be successful, then they, you know, really get down to the nuts and bolts of the detail.
How long is the whole thing going to take?
So they, the permitting itself is a year. And then I think they've said.
It could be less, right?
It could be less.
Then they got to do the design, then construction. You're probably looking at 3 to 5 years.
It took me 3 months to get a dot
plan. A year for permitting, and they're saying 8 months for building, for construction. So, I would guess 3 years.
3 years.
Mm. We got to fund it too.
And yeah, we got to get the. So that's gonna. They're starting the budget. Philip's going to be in there.
Charge of that.
Taking charge of getting all the money together.
That's why we don't have it for you.
Always in the plan.
Don't turn on us, Philip.
That's right. He's the master.
Remember where you came from.
Right.
Yeah, remember where you come.
Yeah, that's going to be the next, you know, but finding the money is certainly going to be. And it was kind of delayed at this last budget, rightfully, because I don't think there was going to be an opportunity to actually start on it before July.
Mm-hmm.
So that gets us into the next year, so they just got to find $4 or $5 million extra.
Well, assuming we don't have to mitigate any
wetlands. Yeah, or more.
Remind you of your boat.
Remember who your friends are.
All right. So I don't really have anything to update on the MOU specifically with the Water and Sewer Commission, but I would just say that they, the Water and Sewer Commission has been, they are in need of a bond. They want to move their Wild Dunes plant out of Wild Dunes and into the Forest Trail wastewater treatment area. That has had them requesting, they have to get those bonds approved by City Council. They've approached City Council. City Council, there's been a little bit of and that is, they have kind of walked away for the time being. They have not, Council has not approved the bond. There was the Public Works Committee of City Council. Their recommendation was to say, we will not approve the bond until you will dissolve yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Upon you basically dissolving yourself, we'll then approve the bond. And, so that put things that put things on ice a little bit for a little while. So I think they're.
What's motivating that change? Moving that equipment?
Moving. Just consolidating to, they basically have twice the kind of, they want it just consolidated to one
that
site.
Was on your plan, I believe, all along.
They've always wanted.
Wild Dunes is like 40 years old.
The time for the Wild Dunes system is kind of questionably up.
Yeah.
But, and they felt like it made sense if we're going to do it, you know, they now have this super efficient membrane
mm-hmm.
system. At the Forest Trail system
mm-hmm.
where they can kind of plug in a new cartridge of more membrane and it's cheaper and all of the existing infrastructure is there for them to do that at that facility. And the piping's it's already interconnected. And while they're doing it, they wanted to set the groundwork for an additional membrane to do the rest of the island. You know, in kind of preparation of expanding sewer lines, they wanted the groundwork set to be able to do that. I want to say it's 16 million. So 16 million now. So kind of halfway towards sewering the rest of the island. So that's on hold. But I will say, as I said earlier, I mean, it is a new day over there in terms of just day-to-day dealings with that.
Might change again.
Like I say, you got new people.
Yeah.
And might get an old manager back there or not.
Is that being discussed? George?
No. What's her name? Coming back. I've heard.
Really?
Kristen?
Is that who
no
you're
more.
Doing?
He's just the messenger.
All right.
I missed it.
Ron's out. He's done.
All right, so things are still slow with the Water and Sewer Commission. Mm-hmm. You know, the ideas of how we will address expanding sewer in the future. 1100 Palm Boulevard, this is the one last month developer came, pitched the idea of potentially relaxing the zoning code to allow hotels. The Real Property Committee of City Council recommended that just be flatly denied and not considered. So for the time being, it's, you know, I specifically asked, do you want the Planning Commission to continue to even consider it? Because it was kind of mm-hmm. in your queue of things to address, and the feedback was no. Just
why
did it get flatly kind of turned down? I think that so hotels were allowed in the code up until whatever 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago they took it out, and they with in the fear that while it was allowed, you were putting too many people in the commercial district, and it was taking away from opportunities of other commercial enterprises. That basically, if it was allowed, that's all you would get up there, is you would just get hotels with more people, and not things that add to the quality of life of the residents. I think that you could look at that two ways. I think, you know, you could look at hotels as being symbiotic with services like restaurants and things that would serve those people staying in the hotels, would also serve residents. But I think that the pushback was the same mindset that it was 10 years ago. If you open that door, you're going to just get hotels down there, and that doesn't really add to the quality of life to the residents. Wasn't said that way. That is my impression of.
I mean, what they built up there is kind of like, you know, a Holiday Inn or something. It's like a, come hotels or kind of motels.
Yeah,
they're not very attractive. I mean, I've not been in one.
The other thing is, it's near post office. The post office lease is coming up for renewal, and more than likely it won't be renewed. The owner then could turn that into a hotel as well. It's a big chunk of property.
He would probably ask the same.
Yep.
He was guaranteed.
So now you get the domino effect.
Where's the post office going to go?
Sullivan's Island, Mount Pleasant. They're consolidating all over the country. I mean, their business is kind of.
Yeah.
Most people from Mount Pleasant come here to use the post office.
Exactly.
It's a nightmare.
So nice, then you don't have to wait in line.
But cut back hours already.
You get an update on what's going on.
Exactly. You see people.
A couple jokes.
Yeah.
To me, that, 1100 Palm Boulevard was, to me, I think that particular development would have been an asset. I mean, I think it was going to be well done. The group has a nice track record of doing quality projects. It was going to generate revenue to the city that we don't have currently. I think it was going to do good things for the district. However, kind of putting the regulatory hat on, I can also see the disadvantage of, you're kind of opening the floodgates, and the guy right behind that operation may not do as high a quality, may not. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword. It's one of those things you have to kind of consider all the options and make the best judgment.
Like the right project at the wrong location. I mean, it was really
shoehorned
that
in
little,
yeah.
You know, yeah, triangle.
What else could you do with
parking?
It's a property.
You
can't do anything else with it. It's like, it seems like that's missed revenue for the city.
But, you know,
it could put it together with the post office property is what they'll end up doing probably somehow.
Parking lot.
Well, it could put a restaurant there.
Yeah, I think it'll be
a restaurant.
I mean, all of the business that inquired about it was
restaurant hotel by the size of this conference table. But there.
Okay. Next, update on Marina visioning meetings. So the and Philip was there as well, so he can certainly give his impression. I think that so. Really, what happened at the meeting was a history of kind of what has happened from the city buying that marina. You know, you all were involved in starting the comprehensive plan. That plan then led to a referendum that failed. There's now a lot of deferred maintenance that needs to be addressed. You also have a couple of leases coming up that need to be addressed. So you have some things kind of lingering out there, and it's been the point of a lot of attention for a number of years now. I think that really all that happened at the meeting was just kind of a history of this is what's happened so far. I think the purpose of the meeting was really for those that were going out of council. You know, they've been up there for a number of years, and they've been kind of working and nothing has really changed. I think we're kind of at the point where things are going to have to, some action is going to have to take place in Philip's term. So it was kind of an opportunity for the outgoing council members to give their impressions of what the vision should be down there. And I think to some degree that happened. But there wasn't really a lot of discussion about it. It was, like I said, a presentation on here is what's happened so far. Here's what's up, here's what's coming up. And no,
were you on planning commission when we were discussing that?
No.
Yeah, it was back in your house before.
What is the dispensation or the what's happened to the restaurant structure?
What has happened to the structure or the business of closing down?
The business
is closed.
Down.
I don't,
right.
That's, you know, I don't know if that public information. Or not.
Right.
No, my concern, there were some public safety concerns with the building a couple of months ago that could be fixed. The thing, you know, it's been added on to and band-aided here and there. I'm just concerned and worried that we're going to have another $5 or $6 million construction obligation to rebuild something.
Well, so it's.
Why do we have to rebuild it then?
Well,
why
I don't know, because just the way our island seems
our
to be
property.
Well, so.
But that doesn't mean we have to.
So
hold on.
So on the marine, on the restaurant, the city has requested proposals,
right.
And they're in the process of considering proposals. They got three. We got three. One is from the existing tenant to kind of continue as it's been. One was from Wild Dunes, and it was, you know, we want to redo everything. We'll redo the docks, we will consolidate the businesses, get it all under one kind of management company so you don't have four different agencies all competing in there. And we will pay for everything. We basically will kind of take it off your hands. But there was, in the proposal, there was no rent.
Yeah,
it's like, well, zero money. I think they saw that as a starting point for negotiations, but I think the council saw it as just dead on arrival. It's kind of my personal take on it. And then the third proposal is from a group, at least some are local, and they are generally proposing that they would build a new restaurant, a smaller, about half the size of the existing restaurant. There are.
Sitex Mike's folks, the guy that owns.
Yeah, he's one of my neighbors.
Yeah.
When Barbara insulted you?
Yeah.
Your new next
My
neighbor.
New neighbor.
So they would take it over, build a new restaurant, basically for, you know, there would be some rent given, but that obviously is offset by a very long-term lease and mm-hmm. and them taking over the construction of the restaurant. All that's to be worked through and negotiated and how that'll be done.
But that won't be us. That'll be real property, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
but it is looking like they're going to try to do a longer term lease where
right.
the person, the occupant, can develop the.
Right.
That's good.
Yeah. Banks so, will do a land lease on 30 years. I mean, they yeah. won't do shorter than that.
But so, still, that's a better deal for the city.
Right. But if you're going to do a big development project and you want to borrow the dollars to do it, mm-hmm. the city would have to do a 30-year
lease. Mm-hmm.
That's what the banks require for a land lease deal. That's just what they want to see. I've seen them done on 25, but very seldom.
What did this current Morgan's Creek, they must have had a much shorter term when
they did.
It's
15-year lease. But they didn't do...
They've been asking.
They didn't have to do capital improvements.
Yeah, they didn't have to do the capital improvements.
Took over.
What I'm talking about is where you literally just lease the land from the city, and obviously the city has purview via other codes, and they have to approve the design and everything.
Right.
But literally, somebody else comes in and develops the property.
So it's like a tear down. I could
right.
just start all over.
It doesn't have to be, but in that case, yeah, in the case of our restaurant, the restaurant, Morgan Creek, yeah.
I know they're interested in preserving. They are into the setback. There's a 20-foot setback from the seawall. They're into that. They're closer than that setback. So I know they want to preserve the shell, some part of the building to be able to maintain that footprint. But I think it would be almost entirely reworked.
So Morgan's Creek, they closed, but they're still responsible for paying rent until the end of the term.
Yes.
I don't know, why would they not stay open and cover their costs other than just being pissed off at the city?
We will see what happens there.
One of the things was the decision came up at the time of year when if you're a restaurant, you're stuck in wait.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, well, probably January for sure, but they still do well mm-hmm. through the holidays.
Well's a relative thing.
Right. Well, it's true. It's not like the summer, but
they
cover their costs.
They actually have to cook food.
Just the oyster rice. Just do that once a week.
They can still change their mind and reopen.
No, I'm sure they
can. I mean, they still have a lease.
All right. Potential next projects. Rick, that's you.
That's you.
I don't, you know, we do, I will say, we have, next month we'll have continuing education. We will have one new member once Philip goes out. I don't know of anything really looming on the horizon, but there are a lot of, the city generally has a lot of
mm-hmm.
oars in the water, you know, at once. So I'm guessing it won't be quiet for long.
Yeah, well, there was another time where we said the same thing. We were sitting wondering right. what we're going to do next.
Yeah, and then you get...
Then we get five things at one
yeah.
time. That's
yeah.
what
kind of the way
we deserve a little break, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, it's been an active.
Forget about us when he gets up to the big house. So he'll send us some work.
What's your name again?
When he goes to the show.
You can forget mine, but just don't forget everybody.
Yeah, go to the show.
You might get sent back down to the minors.
It's a strong possibility.
So you'll do great.
Yeah.
He still has to do the continuing education, right?
I'm going to try to get him to.
You don't have to do that, do you?
No,
that's
he doesn't.
One of the things.
Council, don't they have to do the same thing?
Oh, he will have a different, you're going to have a different
yeah,
orientation.
Different
you get to go on full, like, week-long retreats.
Sweet. Hawaii?
Yeah. Yeah. The private jet.
Oh, keep dreaming.
Yeah.
Hopefully
I'll
not.
Pop's private jet.
Tonight,
yeah.
private jet.
Yeah. My taxes aren't going to send you to Hawaii.
That's all I have.
All right. I don't have anything.
I'll make the motion to
adjourn. I second
goodness.
It.
Goodness.
Any favor?
Wow. Quickest one ever.
Yeah. Good.
Still a front pod. I mean, that's